In case you missed it, and I would say that you should consider yourself lucky if you did, Madam Secretary was a bizarre, childish version of her House of Cards that ran from 2014 to 2019. It had six seasons and was produced by CBS and would seem to have no enduring value whatsoever. It presents the viewer with a propaganda-laden view of the United States federal government, a government that, in Madam Secretary, is not just well-run, but the best systems of governance in the world. It isn't only efficient, but it's ethical. It's not et only ethical, but worth dying for. And as shown in the extremely obvious morality plays that are, supposed to be taken by the viewer as episodes or entertainment, most of them are just morality plays to get you to either sympathize with. In many cases, actually, interestingly enough, the CIA, but also the US military, other, organs of the state, the Department of State is one of them, that cruel department that doesn't give anyone any visas. So, that's what it is. Aside from its heavy propaganda quality, it was also extremely bad at predicting events. Madam Secretary Season 1 starts in 2014 as a kind of slightly alternate reality, but it's a basically believable portrait, especially for a 2014 viewer, of a possible fictionalized United States. Unfortunately, as the writing corps, we can think of these people in these New York City offices of CBS, as this writing corps begins to make more and more decisions, the series goes further and further off the rails. And by its last season, the sixth season, which gets released in 2019, if the series were a train, it would be sticking out of the USNS Mercy, and we would be seeing through the window of the train that one of Hillary Clinton's, dreams that she has when she's quote unquote dehydrated, right? That is how crazy this show gets from 2014 to 2019. In fact, I would say that you could even skip everything to season four, the first three seasons are skippable if you want. Personally, you probably should just skip the entire thing, but you could skip the first three. In Madam Secretary's final season, when it's called actually Madam President, because spoiler alert, the main character becomes president. So in this final season of Madam President in this America, marijuana is legal, the US has lasting peace with Iran, an independent run for president is possible. The nuclear hair trigger has been abolished, and both the US and Russia are moving towards denuclearization. It isn't Russia, but Iran that interferes with the US presidential election. But instead of dissimulating and denying the interference, the title character, who is played by Taya Leone, her in-universe name is Elizabeth McCord, in all her G-rated glory, does the right thing and admits it, despite the political costs in-universe to her. And in this show, the federal government has never met a problem that it can't solve. It can solve a pandemic, as it does when the Marburg virus breaks out somewhere in Africa. It can solve foreign wars, as it does multiple times. It can prevent nuclear holocaust, again, multiple times. And somehow, it can even solve polarization. In fact, the titular character, McCord, she chooses, I suppose, who in this series is supposed to be a version of Donald Trump to be her vice president. So clearly, the world of Madam Secretary has it all put together. There are always plenty of triumphalist bugles, cellos, and cymbals by which you accentuate Secretary McCord's patriotism during her many speeches, whether she's sitting in an Arizona jail on behalf of Latin American migrants segregated from their families. It's something that I cannot imagine any Secretary of State doing, but certainly not Blinken, and certainly not Pompeo. Or whether she's passionately arguing with her counterparts in China or Russia for them to do what her government sees as the right thing. Which, funny enough, in this series actually tends to be the right thing in reality. Which, you know, we know that in reality, that isn't normally the case. God's truth is always marching on through her absolutely perfect, always justifiable actions. They made a point of making Secretary McCord, unlike Hillary Clinton, obviously the character that she's supposed to, well, the historical being that she's supposed to be based on, they made a point of making Secretary McCord in the series not have any political aspiration before being appointed Secretary of State. She starts out as a doctorate of mathematics in a university and is retired to a farm. And the only reason she's appointed Secretary of State is because her predecessor dies, and she was in the CIA with the now President of the United States. So, we don't really need to talk too much about the lore, though. The show is nonsense. It really is propaganda top to bottom. It is as heavy as Soviet propaganda, I would say. The problem is that Americans don't tend to view their own propaganda as being propaganda. They only view, you know, communist propaganda as being propaganda or fascist propaganda as being propaganda, even though this series has such a clear propaganda element all throughout, where it's like the CIA is good, the US military is good, and none of these ever, you know, ever do any wrong. And if they do, it's always worked out at the end of the hour. So, yeah, I think I will talk about one episode of this show, though, that was my favorite. I must confess that I watched this entire show very much in the background. I did not pay close attention to it. In fact, I watched, I would say, maybe the first episode, and I was so fascinated by its obvious propaganda quality that I was wondering how far the writers were going to beat me over the head with, you know, American exceptionalism, and how in vogue that would be, given that I checked and this ran for 6 series. So I knew that it had been running all the way until 2019. And so I wanted to see whether or not the writers gave up the propaganda quality and instead of being a childish House of Cards, you know, turned more into a House of Cards, where they don't pretend that every politician is good. That doesn't happen. They very much take the other route. They lean hard into the G-rated, propaganda-heavy route. The episode that I'll talk about, Night Watch, is season 4, episode 22, and it demonstrates everything I've said about this ridiculous program. Secretary McCord is taking some much-needed time off, and she's enjoying her day at a Washington, D.C. Chuck E. Cheese with her family. Suddenly, President Biden, Dalton, playing golf with his National Security Council, is interrupted by a phone call to his Secretary of Defense, who, you know, being one of these Pentagon people, starts talking in coded language. She translates that coded language for the National Security Council and tells them that hundreds of nuclear missiles have been shot at the United States mainland from Russia. With McCord, the titular character, as a non-entity, you know, in this universe, I guess Chuck E. Cheese doesn't have Wi-Fi, the only top-level National Security Council officials buzzing in Dalton Biden's ear are from the Pentagon. So this trio of nuclear clowns, the chairman of, sorry, this is a progressive program, the chairwoman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, played by Joanna Dey, the Secretary of Defense, played by Mike Pinioski. I took some notes, but I don't know how to say his name. And of course, Dalton Biden himself decide to bring about nuclear Armageddon, lest they allow for a world without a federal government or a United States. For them, no world is better than one without them. Shocking. And this isn't really talked about in the program. It's just taken for granted. And so they do a nuclear dance. A subclown whose entire character can be described as high-ranking military briefcase holder opens it, you know, the nuclear football, then gets out of the way. The clown in chief reads it over, and he comes up with his options for retaliation, and of course chooses to launch the most nuclear bombs possible. Even given a chance to reconsider, at a critical moment, one of the Pentagon lackeys has his top secret clearance unceremoniously revoked. So in the middle of this nuclear dance that they're doing to launch all these bombs, I will say that this is the most realistic element in the show. This is the America I know. People getting fucked over for totally out there, just, you know, paragraph for subparagraph B of the rules of the Pentagon say this, so therefore your NSC security clearance is revoked. That's the America I know. So anyway, this general gets his security clearance revoked because he's getting a divorce, and obviously the CIA and the NSA want to spy on him just to make sure that, you know, this divorce hasn't affected him so much that he can no longer do his job. But the people who make that determination, because the U.S. government is largely run on the principle of if you don't need to know something, then you don't know it, at least in terms of secrecy. The people making that determination don't know that this general is in the middle of launching nuclear bombs, so they take away his security clearance at the wrong time. So anyway, they have to call the president back and basically say, oh, sorry, sir, you know, Mr. President, while he's in this helicopter flying to a bunker, you know, sorry, Mr. President, we fucked up and we just, you know, we have to do the nuclear dance again. So, you know, they pop the cards again. And of course, you know, the Niners and Zulus and Tangos are taking flight through the air again, while Scooby and the gang are, you know, also in their helicopter. Anyway, so that's it. You know, you have, you know, the clowns are in the air and they're just expecting that bombs are going to go off all over the world, and maybe they'll survive in a bunker, and maybe they won't. Huh. It's funny, at one point, the woman that they have playing the Joint Chief of Staff says that nuclear winter is just a theory, you know, just like global warming, I suppose. Anyhow, another general runs into the room, because obviously this is television, and if they ended it here, that would scare the fuck out of Americans, which they can't afford to do. So, this is CBS, like, a primetime program, I suppose, that's when this originally ran. That's what it was, the point of it, I guess. So, another general runs into the room and physically pulls away somebody who outranks him at a computer terminal, right? And then the guy, you know, this general, aborts the launch. While across America, some nuclear silos are even opened and keys turned. They show in the series these guys, you know, managing their floppy disks and large binders, and the leisure time of these soldiers is, like, interrupted by their actual jobs, who all do exactly what they're told. Because a key message of Madam Secretary is that insubordination to American authority is evil. That is a constant theme throughout the program. So the fact that they would show these soldiers all in perfect unison, nothing is going wrong with the nuclear silos, everything is perfect. You know, you have, they really only show us two soldiers. It's an Asian guy and a white guy. And you have the Asian guy who is going through the manual, and then you have the white guy who is, you know, after every decision the Asian guy makes, he's just saying very loudly, I agree. Very, very dystopian in that sense. Anyway, so what happened? Why did this general run into the room and, you know, disobey the orders of the president? Well, I suppose we could think that maybe common sense has prevailed and this guy has just decided that, you know, okay, it would be better to have a world that still has people on it, even if there are no people in the continental U.S. or North America, even. Or maybe the Americas, right? Like, sure, that could be a form of common sense. I can see it, right? But no, the low-ranking Pentagon official, comparatively to the president, knows something that the president doesn't. He's lazy, right? So he has to tell his bosses that basically this was all a simulation. It was an error. He freaked out the president and McCord, who that by this point figured it out, and you know, all these other higher-ups in the government, you know. And so, this is sure getting ominous for American authority, but don't worry. CBS is about to turn it around. They fire the General Doofus, of course, right? And then, interestingly, in this program, you know, you have these two Pentagon officials, this chairwoman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense, they are easily cowed by the civilian authorities. You know, Snoopy and the gang are, Scooby and the gang, rather, are very easily able to get these Pentagon officials to give up their stance that they need this nuclear hair trigger. So, even Russia is put into the loop by Secretary McCord, who tells them that, oops, yeah, today, yeah, the United States almost ended the world. And then, out of love for their children, the Russians, you know, I'm sorry, but this program gets really absurd, as if it wasn't already. The Russians put their distrust aside, and in-universe, their president, you know, is basically Vladimir Putin. But that's ignored, right? And this Putin clone, you know, just in the same way that the in-universe President Dalton is basically just Biden. They agree to no longer be on a hair trigger to launch intercontinental ballistic missiles. They even agree to deproliferation in the program. So, totally out of sync to what we know to be going on in reality. Secretary McCord's husband in the series, who has the in-universe name of Henry McCord and is played by Tim Daly, he is a religious professor and Catholic, and he's always going on about St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Francis, and I believe that this was done to even add more moral legitimacy to everything Madam Secretary does and stands for. For example, they allude strongly to the fact that the secretary was in the CIA before the events of the series. And during the series, this supposedly religious man himself joins the CIA and carries out operations, all of which go well, prevent wars, and are morally good, because I guess it would be too confusing to viewers to have a religion professor that is not a moral person. So, another interesting thing is that Madam Secretary, the woman in it, doesn't consider herself a politician until she begins running for president, despite the fact that she obviously is one. She hides behind the merely executive nature of her office, you know, being Secretary of State, and the fact that she was not a politician before becoming Secretary of State. And Reverend McCord is always there to throw before us his warped pearls of wisdom from the Bible, or even, you know, an Eastern tradition, in defense of American exceptionalism, you know, whatever the Secretary is doing, whatever the federal government is doing. Yeah. So, that's what I found the most interesting about the nuclear episode, is that it is never considered for a second to just let the Russians win. Assuming that the bombs are real, right, these people never consider something that I would probably be considering right away, which is just, okay, you say that the Russians have launched, thousands of ICBMs. Clearly, if we launch a counterattack, we will destroy the entire world. This is not how we wanted things to go down. But there is still a European Union. There is still our limited presence in Alaska and the Pacific Ocean. So why don't we just let them win? It sucks, but there will still be humanity, and if this turns out to be an error, well then, you know, we haven't destroyed any of the world, right? And so that's not considered at all. I watched the entire episode carefully to see if it was, and there's only one line which we can say is even remotely pointing to that. It's when the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairwoman, when the president is wavering a little bit, says, "You have a duty to the Constitution, right, to carry out major attack option one." And that's what I found to be the most interesting. Because it's not a duty to humanity, or even the country, or even the people. It's to the Constitution. And so that is why I've titled this episode, my first episode, on the enduring historical value of CBS's Madam Secretary. Because I do believe that there actually is some. And I'm going to explain why. So, Dr. McCord proudly extols the virtues of the American system, which he calls the best on earth. When his character is in the mood to do so, of course, we once again often cue the bugles, right? The bugles are very popular in the soundtrack of this show. It's very, very over the top, very propagandistic. Like, it is almost laughably propagandistic. Like, it almost could say a voice of America at the end. It's that strong. Dr. McCord is always happy to let us know how well it works. You know, earlier in the season, season 4, episode 12, Sound and Fury, for a brief time, the vice president, who is another ambitious woman in the series, temporarily becomes acting president. So, would you like to guess how that happened? So the cabinet in the series all get together and they work out their differences while Secretary McCord channels, you know, the moral argumentation of her husband, who is supposedly this religious scholar, and they positively vote for the 25th Amendment. President Bi Dalton finds himself left with the choice of either a temporary or permanent leave, and despite what is later revealed to literally be brain cancer, a meningioma, in his frontal lobes, he's miraculously able to choose medical examination, i.e., the temporary leave, and he gives up his throne while he gets surgery. Well, initially an examination, which leads to the necessity of surgery. Before he did so, he'd almost started another nuclear war with Russia, by the way. Except this time the Pentagon didn't agree with him, you know, there was all this consternation. And he fired the Secretary of Defense, who, you know, comes back later, until he could find one who would, you know, carry out his nuclear Armageddon. And it was all very Hollywood, and there were, you know, minutes to spare, and, you know, we've gotta carry out this 25th Amendment vote, you know, right away. And so the irony of this is that season 4 came out in 2018, when there was a literal madman in the White House, Donald Trump. And that irony was not lost on the Washington Post. Except in real life, unlike in Madam Secretary, the American system actually is not only what they would say is in the show, you know, it's far from perfect, but it's the best we got. Our democracy is worth fighting for, that kind of overly, you know, propagandistic line. But our system is actually fundamentally broken and is always at risk every single minute of every single day of either violent or nonviolent dissolution. Its elite live with their heads eternally in the sand, unable to admit to themselves that their constitution needs significant revision to even guarantee the continuation of themselves for, you know, even the next century, much less the entire world, right? And said madman Donald Trump almost orchestrated a coup in January 2021, but he was thwarted by his own self-interest because he feared what would happen if he didn't pull it off. Future fascists, of course, will not be as pathetic and cowardly as Donald Trump. They will be willing to die, including by their own hand, for their beliefs. And so they will not even consider the case of their failure in their plans. A future fascist president will have the zeal of Adolf Hitler in his own success. And unlike the orange coward, I am confident that he will shoot himself rather than live in a world where he is not God Emperor for life. As demonstrated by Trump's presidency, they will succeed, and all of the supposed checks and balances will not be effective, including the 25th Amendment. In the nuclear episode, my favorite episode, with a huge degree of unintentional irony, Secretary McCord remarks how she now understands why the Pentagon is called a priesthood by some of its critics, that their religious dogmatic belief in the policy of the nuclear hair trigger is sacrosanct and it can't be reasoned with. But in Madam Secretary, she succeeds in reality to cow these Pentagon officials. But in reality, no one has and no one ever will. The nuclear hair trigger will continue as long as the US federal government does, I imagine. So the reason for that, though, is not because the Pentagon is a priesthood. Madam Secretary is wrong about that. You know, the Elizabeth McCord, the series, is wrong that the Pentagon is the priesthood. It's the federal government that's the priesthood, the upper level of it, to be exact. And they are the ones with the dogmatic belief, you know, in their constitution, that they do not have either the decency or the political skill to amend in a world where it is becoming less relevant every day, and in a world where the existence of these American constitutional priests and priestesses is already, I believe, one of the most pressing dangers humanity faces. Because of the faith in the Constitution that the people portrayed in Madam Secretary have, or that are supposed to be portrayed, that have fictionalized versions in Madam Secretary, that is to say, Biden, Clinton, and Obama, they will never call a constitutional convention. They will allow a fascist to call one for them. And when that fascist does so, it will be already too late to salvage the situation peacefully. So, what then should we think of Madam Secretary? Well, its enduring historical value is this. As I've said, it gives us a window into the Democratic Party's mind in 2014. I believe that it is as if we sat Hillary Clinton down herself and plugged a futuristic machine into her mind that would let us watch her dreams for her future without any ability for her to dissimulate or lie about what her dreams are. It is truly a remarkable thing to witness this bizarre corporate alternate history. It is one thing to call our corporate gerontocracy out of touch and delusional, but quite another to experience its delusions on the screen acted out for entertainment. You know, in 2021, this show should haunt us rather than make us laugh at its errors, because those who would have produced something quite like it, if asked to produce the next 7 years, or to predict the next 7 years rather, they still sit in all the elite positions of power and haven't learned anything from the events of the Trump presidency. They remain as unable to understand the politics of today as they were unable to understand the politics of 2014. Joe Biden thinks he lives in the world of Madam Secretary, and that Trump was an unfortunate setback that doesn't need to be either understood or reckoned with because, once again, the party of the gullible prophets of the Constitution sits on the throne. In this shared Clintonian fever dream, they will continue the federal government sleepwalking into its own demise in the form of a successful coup. Just like the foolish fictional president Conrad Dalton, who would rather have no humanity than a humanity without America and its Constitution, so too does President Joe Biden protect the folly of his 300-year-old capitalist manifesto, believing a second civil war preferable to any attempt to enact its own mechanisms for radical reform. That civil war also won't go down how Madam Secretary predicted either. Lastly, I will say that pedantry kills, And no one cares if the in-universe name of the arcade that Secretary McCord went to was actually called Chuck E. Cheese or not. And this was not quite a podcast, but it is in some ways a podcast. I am going to try to record at least once a week a long-form essay of thoughts on a topic. I'm going to be calling these Hell World Dispatches. This is Hell World Dispatch number one, titled On the Enduring Historical Legacy of CBS's Madam Secretary. Topics cannot be promised. I plan to have, topics as broad as politics, as I've tried to wade into here, to technical things, for example, whether or not a cryptocurrency is a scam, why and how people come up with their personas. I mean, I'm really going to be doing my best to cover a wide variety of different, topics that our current hell world introduces into our minds. When I say hell world here, I talk really about my own slice of hell world, the internet. But the reason I'm not using internet or digital or cyber or anything in a name is that I think it's important to clarify that in our current decade and in the future to come, there is no real difference between the internet and real life. So, in terms of the effect on society, the world, any of it, so that distinction is not really important to make. I hope you'll listen to these, but I also understand if you don't have time. I don't really tend to listen to podcasts either, so. I might have guests on in the future, I don't know. And like I said, I'm gonna try to record one every week, but knowing me, I'm probably gonna miss a week, and I'm not making any specific rather prediction as to when these are gonna be released. And also, my initial season will probably be 12 episodes, but I could also cut it in the middle. Okay, well, that is all. I hope you enjoyed, and I look forward to recording more of these.